You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatullah.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي درشي بالله وصلين تسليما. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an was like a protective shield for the believers. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab was like a protective shield for the believers, a brilliant politician and also a very wise administrator. It is said that once he was in the company of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een and he looked at Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman and said to him, O Huzaifa, tell me about the ahadith which you have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the subject of fitan, trials and tribulation. Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an was a specialist on the subject of those ahadith which are related to trials and tribulations. Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an looked at Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Umar said to him, Huzaifa, mention to me those ahadith in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the fitan, the trials and tribulation will come to my ummah like the waves of the ocean. Like the waves of the ocean, one after another. Hazrat Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala an looked down and then he looked up again at Hazrat Umar and said to him, Amirul Mu'mineen, why does it concern you? What do you want to know about the ahadith of fitan? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a closed gate, a barrier between you and the fitan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a closed gate between you and the fitan, the trials and tribulation. So you have Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab here, and you have all the fitan here, but it is blocked because of a barrier, because of a closed gate. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an heard this, he said to Huzaifa, well, Huzaifa, then tell me one thing. Will this gate be broken into or will it be opened? And Hazrat Huzaifa said to Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, that this gate will be broken into. Hazrat Umar said to Huzaifa, then until the day of Qiyamah, the doors of fitan will never shut. It will open up completely for the ummah. Subhanallah al-Azim, some of the tabi'een that were sitting in that gathering, they said to Hazrat Huzaifa, in fact rather they said to Masruq, who was a senior member of the Tabi'een group, and they said to Masruq, why don't you ask Hazrat Huzaifa who that gate was? And so Hazrat Masruq asked Hazrat Huzaifa, can you tell us who that gate was? Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala and said that this gate was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And so Hazrat Masruq said to Hazrat Huzaifa, did Hazrat Umar know that this gate was no one but himself? So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala an said, without a doubt, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an knew that this barrier and gate is none but Umar ibn al-Khattab himself. He was a man who was preventing all of the fitan from entering into the Arabian Peninsula. And that is why you will find that after the death of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, all of the main fitan started. Whilst he was alive, everything was in control. Allahu Akbar. Again, there is this very subtle indication, a basharat, a prophecy, glad tidings given to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he knew that well, he knew it exactly. That is why he said, will this door be open or will it be broke open? So they said that it will be broken into. That meant that Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab will become a shaheed. He will be given that maqam of martyrdom. He will become a shaheed. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an knew that. There have been many, many incidents in the lives of the companions whereby Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given either collectively basharat, glad tidings, to a group of people or even individuals. It is said that once Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an with Abu Bakr Siddiq and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they climbed the mountain of Uhud. They were on the mountain of Uhud, and all of a sudden the mountain started to shake. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lifted up his auspicious leg and pounced it very strongly on the Mount of Uhud and said, alaykum bis-sakina, alaykum bis-sakina, be firm, be firm. You don't need to shake. Why? On top of you is a Nabi and a Siddiq, Shahidan. And then he said, you have two Shaheed on you. You have one Nabi, you have one Siddiq, and you have two Shaheed. Who are the two Shaheed? Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and also Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Some of the glad tidings given to the companions. Ulama have also mentioned, during the last Hajj of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, before departing to Madinatul Munawwara, the last few days of Hajj are spent in Mina. Now before departing for Madinatul Munawwara, it is said that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an went to an area called Abtah, and he stopped there for a few hours. Some of the Mu'addikheen have mentioned what he did is that he gathered the sand that was there and he put his cloak on it and sat there for a while, and then lifted up his hands and he made a dua and he said, Ya Allah, Umar has become very old now. Umar has become very, very weak, and now the people in my care are scattered all around. Ya Allah, my wish now is to come to you. My wish now is to come to you. This was again the dua of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Ulama have mentioned the very last dua in his last Hajj. The very famous dua, of course, of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, which we have mentioned many times previously. And all of the books of seer have also mentioned and recorded his dua. He would often lift up his hands and make a dua. Allahumma rzukni shahadatan fi sabilik. Waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik. Oh Allah, give me shahadat in your path. Allah, let me die for your cause. So I become shaheed in the path of Allah. And with that he would combine another dua. He would say, Ya Allah, I also want to die in the city of your beloved Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now if you look at the two dua, subhanallah, one would imagine it would be very, very difficult. If he died in the city of Medina, then how would he attain shahadat? If he would attain Shahadat, how is it possible for him to die in the city of Medina? These are the questions. And Hazrat Umar himself would wonder that how is it possible? Why, he was living in Madinatul Munawwara, that is where the capital of Islam was, that is where Darul Khilafah was. Hazrat Umar was there in Madinatul Munawwara. How can he become a shaheed? Our Mu'arikhin have written here a very important lesson. They say that from the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and we need to take one very important lesson, that nothing is impossible for Allah.
Of course.
Sure. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem with human beings is that we look at everything with that humanistic eye, in that humanistic avenue. Ke bhai, ye hoga ya nahi hoga? We are insan. But when you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him for everything. Don't think that this is not possible perhaps. Everything is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is possible. Subhanallah. I was listening to a bayan of this very famous muhaddis, and in his bayan he said, one must even make dua that Allah make me Imam Muhammad Mahdi. Make me Imam Muhammad Mahdi. Make me Mahdi. Because the name of Imam Mahdi is Muhammad. So make me Mahdi. Nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask for everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one very important lesson that we learn from the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Subhanallah, that is the difference between Khaliq and Makhluk, the creator and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference is that when you ask Makhluk, he turns his face away from you. You can test your very close friend. Go to him once and say to him, "Bhai, you know what? Can you borrow me £100? And he'll look at you first. You see, when it comes to money, you know, friendships disappears very quickly. Everybody loves money. And so you go to him and ask him, "Look, can I have £100? So, all right, bye. If you're lucky, you'll get £100. After 2 months, go back to him, "Bhai, you know, do me a favor. Can you borrow me £100? So, okay, bye. No, good friend, chalo ji, give him another £100. Go to him the third time and say to him, "Mike, can you borrow me some money?" And you know what? He will delete your name from his phone diary. Iska naam hi nikal do. He won't want to know you. What is this man? Continuously asking from me. That is the fundamental difference between Khaliq and Makhluk. If you ask Makhluk, he gets angry. But if you continuously ask Khaliq, he gets happy.
MashaAllah.
The more you ask Him, the more close you get to Allah. In fact, in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, "Man lam yas'alillah yaghzab alayh." If you don't ask Allah, He gets angry. So continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you want. And just today, in our Jummah khutbah, I mentioned some of the verses of the Quran with regards to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In three ayats of the Quran, all three have a very powerful dua. One of the most important dua of the Quran is mentioned in Surah Al-Qasas. He starts off by saying, "Rabbi najjini min al-qawmi al-zalimin. Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa al-sabil. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Min khayrin faqir." Subhanallah. This is the quality, the attributes of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So what we need to do first is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salam and the sunnah of also the companions. Therefore we find Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an making this dua. Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik. It is a great honor to die in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah al-Azim. And to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. 10,000 companions, according to Imam Malik, 10,000 companions are resting in Jannatul Baqi. That cemetery for which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would wake up in the night and make dua for them. Subhanallah al-Azim. Ulama have also mentioned, as we go towards the last stage of the life of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, it is quite difficult. In fact, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an's seerah is so captivating and refreshing that every time you take the name of Umar, it is like as if the level of Iman is increasing all the time. So beautiful. You don't want to end the seerah of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Ulama have mentioned that whenever, or should I say before the demise of a pious person, generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows individuals dreams of that individual who is to pass away, and that is the sign of acceptance. Ne dekha hoga. Many a times before a pious person is to expire, before he dies, somebody sees a dream. And he will say, this is what I have seen, this is what I have seen, this is what I have seen. Yeah. And many dreams have been recorded for Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala before his demise. Individuals, senior companions. In fact, subhanallah al-azim, the maqam of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was so high that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen Umar ibn al-Khattab in his dreams also. We mentioned about the palace of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And if you study the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many ahadith are mentioned on this subject of dream. One sahabi whose name is Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. It is during the khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an that in the night he sees a dream. In his dream he is shown that a rope from the heavens is hanging down and many are stretching towards it, trying to get hold of that rope. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab is the tallest man there, 3 cubits tall, taller than anyone there. And so very easily he touches the rope and he is holding the rope. So Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, in his dream, turns around and he is saying to the people around and some of the angels that were there in his dream that why is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an so tall? Why is it so easy for him to hold the rope? And some of the malaika, the angels said, responded to Auf bin Malik, they said, because Umar is the vicegerent, the Khalifa of Allah on earth. And because Umar does not fear the blame of any of the blamers. He does not fear the blame of any of the blamers. لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. And the angels said to Auf bin Malik that also Umar ibn al-Khattab will become shaheed. He is a martyr. He will become shaheed. Hazrat Auf bin Malik, when he saw this dream, immediately the next day he came to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an is a great mu'abbir. Mu'abbir means those who give the right meaning of a dream. And this is sacred knowledge. This is known as ta'bir-e ru'ya, khab ki ta'bir, to give the right meaning. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was one of those who had learned this knowledge of giving the dreams the right meaning. Many of the scholars, alhamdulillah, have this knowledge. That is why the ulama have mentioned, if you have seen a dream, and if you feel that this dream has some meaning, don't go and relate it to anyone. Go and mention it to someone who is a scholar, who knows about dreams, and he will give you the right meaning. It is said about Nawab Siddiq Khan. Nawab Siddiq Khan. He was an Ahl Hadith, but nevertheless, a very powerful scholar. A man who has written many, many books of his time. A very pious man, Nawab Siddiq Khan. Ghali nahi thi. He was Ahl Hadith, lekin he was not ghali. He did not have extreme views. He had respect for all. It is said that a man saw a dream that thousands of people have been gathered in this open area. As he walked further, he noticed that there were also companions in that gathering. Sahaba Kiram Ajma'een. He noticed that Khulafa'i Rashideen were also there, and it was time for Salah. It was time for Salah. He even noticed that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming, And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in the front saf. Stood in the front saf with the companions. And so this man, all of this is shown to him in a dream. And all of a sudden, Nawab Siddiq Khan comes in the front and he is in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine, it's very, very confusing. You have Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the front of, and then you have Nawab Siddiq Khan that is in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is a dream. This is what he saw in the night. When he woke up in the morning, he went to a great sheikh whose name was Qazi Muhammad Ayyub. Again, he was a man who was given this knowledge of giving the right meaning of a dream. So he related this dream to Qazi Muhammad Ayyub, that this is what I have seen and I am very much confused. Rasulullah was behind, everyone was behind, and Nawab Siddiq Khan was in front. What is the meaning of this dream? So Qazi Muhammad Ayyub said to him, are you sure, 100%, Sofisat, this is the dream that you have seen? And he said, yes, definitely this is the dream that I have seen. Qazi Muhammad Ayyub said to him, then I have to say something to you. If this is your dream, it seems that Nawab Siddiq Khan has passed away. Nawab Siddiq Khan has passed away. And he said, just in a few hours, news came to Qazi Muhammad Ayyub and also that person that in the night Nawab Siddiq Khan passed away. In the night Nawab Siddiq Khan had passed away. Now subhanallah, what accuracy, at the right time. It's not a fatwa that you're issuing, you're actually saying that someone has passed away. Someone has passed away. And we have to be very, very careful. What happened once in Portugal, a man came to me and he said, Mauli Sahab, do you know Sheikh Ahmed Didat has passed away? And I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What a great scholar. Humne to masjid mein Yasin Sharif ka khatam rakh liya. You get some people like that. And we made the khatam of Yasin Sharif. And then I said, let me verify this man, this narrator. He's a very weak link, you know. But then you think that how can someone give you this information that Sheikh Ahmed Didat has passed away? Allahu Akbar, and after investigating, mashallah, at that time Sheikh Ahmed Didat was hayat. And then I called him, I said, bhai, what has happened? This is the news you give us, making an alive person dead, someone who is alive. Allah bless him with long life. He's passed away now, khair. Subhanallah al-Azim. What a great man he was. He was interviewing one of the American, he was discussing about Islam to these American soldiers. And these American soldiers said to him that, Mr. Didat, do you agree to the fatwa of Salman Rushdie? Do you agree to the fatwa of Salman Rushdie, where this fatwa is given that he should be killed? Ayatollah Khomeini gave a fatwa that he should be killed. We won't go on to that subject. But very cleverly, Sheikh Ahmed Didat looked at the American soldiers. He says, well, this fatwa is given by the scholars of your Bible. This fatwa is in your Bible.
In your Bible, yes, sir.
It is not about Muslims issuing a fatwa. This fatwa is in the Bible. And he actually showed them where this fatwa is. That anyone who blasphemes should be executed, should be killed. So this is in the Bible, subhanallah. And many things are there in your scriptures. Allahu Akbar. So nevertheless, this man came to Qazi Muhammad Ayyub and said to him, can I ask you one question? How is it possible for you to know that Nawab Siddiq Khan passed away just by me relating to you the dream? And subhanallah, Qazi Muhammad Ayyub said to him that, remember, when a Nabi is in a gathering and if it is time for Salah, no one can take the position of a Nabi. No one can stand in front of a Nabi. But the only possibility is that there can be a janaza in front of a Nabi. So when you told me that Nawab Siddiq Khan is in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I gave the right meaning that this is Nawab Siddiq Khan who has passed away. Because it is not possible for anyone to stand in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. This subject of dreams, Allahu Akbar, it is a complete new world, very, very different. We have to be very, very careful. Very famously known about Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, a man who was a great ashik of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who lived in Madinatul Munawwara, and he had performed his farz hajj, but he was yearning to perform a nafal hajj. But the only thing stopped him that he feared he might die in the city of Makkah or on his way to the city of Makkah. His wish was to die in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. So he did not go anywhere else, nowhere out from Madinatul Munawwara. Ulama have mentioned that once Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh saw a dream. In his dream, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting in front. And so he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, can you tell me my date of death? Can you tell me my date of death?" Anyone here know their date of death? We know a date of birth. Nobody knows that. And you need a lot of courage to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah ke Rasul ko pucha ke ji mujhe maut kab aayegi? When will I die? Date of death. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Imam Malik and did not respond to him verbally. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lifted up his hands and showed him the five fingers, five auspicious fingers. Yeah. And showed Imam Malik the five fingers, this. This was it, end of the dream. When Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi woke up, he was scared. What does five mean, five fingers? Is it 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years? 5 hours, 5 seconds, 5 minutes, it can be anything, yeah, Shabira? Can be anything. Yeah. SubhanAllah. And he wanted to perform an afal hajj. SubhanAllah, in his time, you had the great giant who had the knowledge of this subject, Imam Ibn Sirin, a great scholar, a man who was an expert on the subject of dreams. Famous books have been written like Ta'bir al-Ru'ya. And he has opened up the science of dreams. And this knowledge comes all the way from Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also to the companions. Imam Ibn Sirin was a famous man. And so Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi sent his khadim to go to Ibn Sirin and to inquire of the meaning. What Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said to him, "Don't tell Ibn Sirin who saw this dream. So you go to him and say to him, I want the meaning, someone has seen this dream." So Imam Ibn Sirin was resting. This man came and said, "Hazrat, I want to relate to you one dream." He said, "Go ahead." And as he started relating the dream, Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh stood up and said to him, "Tell me one thing, who has seen this dream?" He said, "Hazrat, I can't tell you." Allah. Imam Ibn Sirin said, "Well, let me tell you. No one in Madinatul Munawwara has got the capacity to see this dream. It can only be Imam Malik." Allah. It can only be Imam Malik. Imam Malik was not an ordinary man, subhanAllah. One ummah, one section of the ummah follows the fiqh of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. What a great scholar. You go to Saudi Arabia and people follow the fiqh of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and you get the Hanabila who follow Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And he was a Madani. This man said, "I still can't tell you who saw the dream." He said, "Well, if you can't tell me, I won't tell you the meaning until you go and take permission and tell me who it is." Yeah. So he went back and he said to Imam Malik that, "Look, I have to tell him who saw the dream." Imam Malik said, "If he's taken my name, then tell him." He went back and Imam Ibn Sirin said, "I told you it was Imam Malik. Now let me tell you the meaning. Tell Imam Malik it is not 5 days, it is not 5 months, it is not 5 weeks. It is nothing of that." SubhanAllah, these are the five verses of the Quran. These are the five verses of the Quran. "Inna Allaha indahu ilmu sa'ah." The knowledge of the day of Qiyamah is with Allah. "Wa yunazzilul ghais how much rain will fall, that is also in the knowledge of Allah. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and from the first day of conception, what is in the stomach of that lady? Is it going to be a boy or a girl? From the first day, that knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, and what will a person do tomorrow? He has the intention that this is what I will do, but exactly what actions he will carry out, that is in the knowledge of Allah. وَمَا تَدْرِي بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ, and where his death will come, that is also in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you ask me of where, how long you have to live, that is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can't tell you when your death will come. I can't tell you when your death will come. Subhanallah, again, this is hujjah on the Barelvis, the so-called people who claim to be Sunni, and they give so much authority, not just to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but even to pious people. And they say that this pious person knows everything, from A to Z, everything. Subhanallah. And I have seen it with my own eyes, not in England, somewhere else. We were in a gathering and this man came, we were invited, I did not know. And all of a sudden from nowhere this lady came and she said, Hazrat, I want a boy. And this man put his hand there and he said, I've prayed and I've done dumb and there's a boy in your stomach now. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. And this is the shirk, and this is how weak we are in our aqaid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our scholars. Here, although it is a dream, it's not qat'i, but nevertheless, someone like Imam Malik and Ibn Sirin, and for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say that the knowledge of where death will come to you and when death will come to you, it is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now going back to the dream of Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, it is the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So Auf bin Malik came in the morning to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and said to Abu Bakr Siddiq that this is what I have seen. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an said to Auf bin Malik, go and call Umar ibn al-Khattab and relate the dream in front of him. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? So he went to call Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. This is the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He came back, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was with him, and the dream was related that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was very, very tall and he was holding the rope, and Basharat was given that he will be the vicegerent of Allah, and also that he does not fear the blame of any blamer, and that he will become a shaheed. So when he said this in front of Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said to him, stop. This is just a dream. Hazrat Umar said to him, this is just a dream. This is nothing important. Everybody can dream. And anyone can have a dream. And he stopped him there immediately. Why? Who was in front? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an just stopped. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an walked away from him. And he said, after many, many years, after the demise of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and also towards the last days of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an called Hazrat Auf bin Malik again to him and said to him, Auf, do you remember the dream that you had seen? So Auf bin Malik said, Amirul Mu'mineen, did you not tell me that this was just a dream and that anybody and everybody dreams? This dream is not important. So he said, Auf bin Malik, remember who was sitting in front of you at that time. The best man after Rasulullah was there. And the dream that you had seen, I did not want to take any credit because of the presence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He is the best man after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Although there is great meaning to this dream, but this is how humble Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was. In front of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, he is number one. He is the best. He has the highest ranking from amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I felt disturbed when you were relating this dream in front of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. If he had mentioned it in a private meeting, it would have been a different case. So he said, tell me, Alhamdulillah, what you had seen, today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me khilafat. I have an empire. That is accepted. And he said about Umar, who does not fear the blame of any blamer, he said, that is also true. I fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said to Auf bin Malik, but how is it possible for Umar ibn al-Khattab to become shaheed? Why? Because I live in Madinatul Munawwara in the Arabian Peninsula. He said to Auf bin Malik, nevertheless, I am hopeful and I pray to Allah that your dream comes true and Umar ibn al-Khattab becomes shaheed in the path of Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will continue on this very important subject in the few sessions to come. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa zurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.